You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 202, Thursday. We are recording Friday, January 30th, as this comes out. Happy PitchCon to all who are tuning in and celebrating. I saw Steve, we're already about halfway to the $10,000 goal, which is amazing. After just Thursday, I know you'll be hopping on for a panel on Saturday representing the Wins Above Fantasy contingent here. So looking forward to hearing about that. But yeah, thanks for all you guys joining to tune in with our podcast. We got a fun show tonight. We are looking at projections, and not just any projections. We've got kind of a twist on it where we're looking at the best projections for a certain stat category. We'll go up and down a handful of stats, see where there might be some advantages. Just talk about some projections in general. Should be a great, great show. It's a great time of year to start doing that. Steve, I know we were talking off air. It's freezing cold. We are very much in need of light at the tunnel from troublesome winter and cold winter, and we're just ready for some baseball, man. But how are you guys, and how are you? It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been good. Definitely more so than other winters. It's been freezing and cold and miserable, more snow than usual. So, you know, baseball is there to melt that all away. So
yeah, man.
Fun topic. I know that this is the time of year to talk about it. I'll let you sort of, this is your brainchild, this one, so we'll let you do the normal breakdown before we get into it. But yeah, PitchCon's always great. Like it's PitchCon, and then it's like draft season, right? Like that's PitchCon's like the official kickoff of fantasy season. We talk about that every year, but it really is, and it's go time. I mean, there's 2 days left in January, right, as we record this. So pitchers and catchers next week, right, or you know, the week and a half away. You're seeing all these training videos, right, and guys you know, throwing harder at drive line, all that stuff. So it's really, business is about to start picking up again. So excited to get into it, especially you know, dealing with the weather that we're dealing here in the Northeast, and I know Midwest for you, it's a welcome sight to be talking about baseball, and that it's going to be on our screens and, you know, meaningful in just a few weeks here once spring training games start.
I can't wait, man. I booked, I got my commissioner duties, my banquet all prepped with the PowerPoint. So I got, you know, the keepers and prospects, all these things listed out. And then it's our 25th anniversary. So a handful of us booked our road trip this year. It's actually a flight down to Tampa at the end of April. We're going to the Trop for the first time. Getting a little golf in. So yeah, I'm forcing out all the good vibes, Steve, as in terms of something to look forward to. But enough about that. We got a ton of stuff to get into, and you kind of teased it out, and I teased out Steve will be on PitchCon Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, I believe, and
yes,
that is to talk about one-hit wonders. So it should be a hilarious segment. I know we were talking offline, Steve, so that will be fun. Be sure to tune into that, guys, and definitely donate to the cause. It's a great cause, and it's a great four-day run of nonstop baseball talk. So get in there on pitcherlist.com/pitchcon/2026, and you guys can check all that stuff out. To the topic of this show, we knew we were going to do projections, but to pull the curtain back, was just kind of Googling, looking into projections, and found an interesting little Reddit thread, as I sometimes do, and found a user by the name of Maze Copeland. So shout out to Maze Copeland. He actually runs a website, whiffs.org, and he had this fascinating Reddit post where, you know, from his website, and he kind of goes through his methodology with like Tom Tango's approach to evaluating projection systems. And we've talked about how like ATC, for instance, is an aggregate that kind of balances out all the projections. So oftentimes ATC is the most accurate, but there are also different sliders that certain projection systems turn on. And Steve, I think you're actually a little bit closer to that than I am, so feel free to shed wisdom as we go throughout on this. But what was really interesting is that on WIFS.org, he has been tracking which projection systems get which stat categories right the most often. So that led us to our show topic for tonight, where we are going to go through the different categories like home runs, stolen bases, RBIs, batting average. We'll get into a few of the pitcher stats like strikeouts, ERA, whip. But for each of those, he has basically said, okay, stolen base, zips is the best every single year. For home runs, they're all pretty close. RBIs, ATC is closest. Batting average, the bat is closest every year. So what we've done, and I'm sure there's a smarter way to do this, is kind of aggregate a handful of different names that have certain stat advantages from that projection model for that stat. So we'll go through home run guys, stolen base guys, where the best system is either higher or lower on kind of fantasy relevant guys as it relates to that stat category. So I don't know that there's a ton to put into this. Like, I certainly wouldn't, you know, for projections in general, let it completely move you off of one player or another. But I do think this is a nice little like tiebreaker or reason to be extra in or extra out on somebody. So that's my kind of long intro to the topic. But Steve, open the floor to your thoughts on it before we get into all the names and all the categories.
I think it's an awesome post and an awesome job and an awesome breakdown. Obviously, a lot of detail went into it, and breakdown was very intricate and took a lot of time. So appreciate that, and think it's really useful. The take that I sort of took away is, like, you know, we always talk about projections around this time of year. Like, they're all released around now. I know ATC came out like last week from Ariel Cohen over at Fangraphs. Jordan Rosenblum does the oopsie projections that I think came out a little bit earlier than that. Same with the bat and the bat X. You know, when I first started looking at Fangraphs, like, you're like, what is this little line at the bottom of the page? Like, oh, it's like, oh, that's their projection. It's like what they may do. And now it's like a whole big, you know, release party, right? It's like an album release every year when these projections come out, and they're exciting and, you know, they're useful. You know, even back in the day when you did like Yahoo drafts, right? Like, there was like the numbers for, you had to sort between what they did last year and these projected numbers. Right now, it's a whole industry on its own. It's the industry within the industry, the projection industry. But I think it's cool because it does a good job highlighting what these projection systems do well, and like, they're all
smarter than we are.
They're like, there's in a way. Yeah, they're hard to put together, and they take a lot of time, and there's a lot that goes into them. And, you know, I know that it's not as simple as something saying, oh, you know, this guy did so different from his projection this year. But it's like, okay, well, there's a lot that goes into it, and you're looking at like the most likely outcome. And, you know, it's like a weather forecast, right? Like, you could be mad all day that the weather forecast is always wrong, but there's a lot that goes into it, and they're trying to project what is the most likely outcome. And I think it's cool that this breakdown highlighted what these projection systems do best. You know, normally we'll talk about one or two projection systems. This is a good way to like highlight all of these impressive and important, you know, numbers that we use to sort of formulate our opinions and bring us back down from the hype and, you know, help us draft, you know, teams that are balanced and you know, not just on feel and gut, which is important and
it's fun,
you
and it's
to
fun.
Do, but
that's the fun of,
yeah,
it.
And it's fun, but you need to have some sort of, you know, backing, right? Like, everyone's rankings, you know, you start essentially with projections and then you go from there. So they're important. I'm glad that we're highlighting them and talking about a bunch of them. So it's cool and a great job
by Mays Copeland.
Yeah, by Mays to put this together. It's really, really cool.
Absolutely. So according to WIFS.org, here was kind of the recommendations per stat category. So for home runs, it's noted that they're all kind of similar and several are good, but ATC can be used safely, which generally makes sense for ATC. It's not like a risky projection model by nature. It kind of takes the median of all the projections, and that tends to be safer than any one individually on its own, at least collectively. But what he's found is that varies by stat category. But for home runs, it's extra across the board. But we're going to use ATC tonight. Stolen bases, interesting enough, is zips has been most accurate year over year, which was interesting to me, Steve, because I tend to kind of ignore. I'll look at Steamer because it's the first one out usually, and then I'll look at zips for fun, but I've never really known why it has extremes. But now that I know that it's relatively accurate on steals, it has caught my eye. So we'll get into that. RBIs is ATC. Average is the bat. Plate appearances and games played has actually been shown that Steamer is the most accurate year over year. So for plate appearances, we'll look at that really quickly. And then for pitchers, I think we just have strikeouts from ATC. For wins, we're using Steamer, and that they're all so close that there's not a ton to break down there. But then ERA and WHIP, oopsie, is most accurate for both of those. And that there's a lot of kind of interesting insights for that. So don't bounce off the show before you get to the ERA and WHIP. But what were you going to add on those, Steve?
No, we'll get to that when we talk ERA.
Okay, all right, I like it.
There's a good reason why.
I like it. Okay, so for homers, let's jump right in. And we're using ATC here. Steve, feel free to pull it up and just talk about anyone that you want to. But as I was scrolling through, I was looking through kind of interesting names or guys that have, popped recently maybe. And then I would just pull up the profile and look at, each of the projection models side by side to see if there was a discrepancy. And Nick Kurtz is projected for 38 homers from ATC. And Junior Caminero was projected for 37. Kurtz at 38 was highest out of any model, which I thought was notable. And then Caminero at 37 was on the higher side. But in general, I just thought for a guy that, it's like Nick Pollock took him in the first round in our too early mock. Everyone's kind of wondering what to make of him. I had him last year in my home league, and I thought it was great, but it felt like found money. I thought it was reassuring to see that ATC has Caminero at 37, that it's like bankable 35-plus pop. Let's start with those two. Any quick reactions or anything you want to add on those two?
No, I think it's interesting just because they're guys that maybe less so with Kurtz. But there was some holes to poke in the fact that Caminero played at, Yankee Stadium South, essentially. Yep. Right. The ground ball rate wasn't, something that there was a little bit concern, especially the year before. Mm-hmm. Right. With the 48% ground ball, he ticked it down to 47% this year, 46.5%. Like, okay, that's still, a good amount. Like, if that ticks up to, a 50%, like, could he have, like, a Vlad type of, year where it's disappointing homer-wise, right, where, Kurtz is just a guy that, you pull a ton of hits a ton of fly balls and has this extreme power. It's like you're more questioning the batting average with Kurtz rather than the homer. So it's pretty interesting. I mean, like, Caminero was, like, one of the top guys for home runs projection wise, like on all the systems, yeah. Right? Like his lowest is 34 at Steamer. And that's only because Steamer has him for 119 games. So, which doesn't make sense. Like that's baking in an injury and probably is just because he played 154, then 43 in his rookie year. I don't know what that is. Like that pace is, the 162 pace might be, it might be on the high end, 45 or something like that for Steamer, at least the rate, is extremely high. So basically all the systems buy Caminero's power. But, you know, I think that it's interesting that ATC and it is the best on this model. Like, normally I just default to, like, the Bad X because they incorporate StackCast data in their projections, not just, you know, prior numbers and underlying numbers, right? But ATC does that as well because it's all the projections, too. So that kind of balance. It's cool that, like, you know, the most accurate one is the one that balances it out, the ones that use, you know, more of the result-based data and things like that, and then the Bad X that does use StackCast and stuff, which is pretty cool. And I know that is Oopsie in ATC now? I'm not 100% sure. I would be surprised if it wasn't, but also that's probably a lot of work to add another full system in there. And I don't even know if Ariel,
yeah, it looks like it is not.
I don't know if he discloses exactly which ones are in.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't be citing AI responses, but according to that, it is not yet. I agree with that, and I think it's just notable that, you know, we talked about Kurtz early in the off season as an ADP slider, where now his ADP is like outside of the top 20 after he was kind of in that same Caminero range of like the 1-2 turn. And so to me, I just thought, okay, so we're even the conservative or aggregate projection model had him at 37 or 38 bombs. So encouraging, but we should keep rolling because we got tons to get through. I'll just rattle off these other ones I found kind of interesting. Vlad is projected for 29 home runs. This is after last year we had the down year from a power standpoint and only had 23 homers. So ATC is giving him 6 more, but it is actually the second lowest out of any of the models. So it's like across the board, we're expecting a tick up from Vlad, but ATC is saying, you know, maybe bump that up with caution. Bobby Witt Jr. projected for 28. This is after he had 23 last year. I just thought Hunter Goodman, Steve, because we talked about kind of the catcher value and the Coors factor, projected at 28 after he had, what, it was upper 30s last year. So Goodman is, if you're wondering kind of what's the most accurate projection for him, which is, you know, that's what you can do. Is you can go to Fangraphs and just pull up ATC, sort by homers, and at least say, okay, if I were to take my best guess at homer output, you know, that's when you see, oh, what's Cal Raleigh at 39? What's Eugenio Suarez, 30? Jordan Alvarez is 30 as well. So a lot of interesting ones. The last one that caught my eye, because we haven't talked about him on the show yet, Steve, is Munetaka Murakami, which I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but newly come over, new White Sox, 25-year-old from the MPB, third baseman who came over. He's got a 208 ADP in January. Murakami is projected for 28 homers. So that he was a name we pull up later on in a different stat category, but it's like, okay, even ATC has this guy for 28 homers. We should be on notice that he's you know, a power contributor there. But any other thoughts on these guys or anything else you want to bounce to on the homer category?
No, I guess on the Vlad is always, you know, polarizing as far as like the power goes. Like, I see his last 4 years of homer totals, and I expect it to be within that range, 23 to 32 homers. Like, that is where he'll finish. Yeah, even 23, I think, is on the low side.
Yeah, and like, that 36 year, you know, is probably a high watermark.
Yeah, he's a 25 to 30 homer hitter. Like, that's where he is. And, like, you know, even with the 23, like, over the last 2 years, I think, like, he has the most hits in baseball, and it's, like, not even close. So, like, there's so much that he brings, even in a quote-unquote down year power-wise. You know, he's just such a good pure hitter that he could make up for it either way. I am in my first draft. And I was debating between Vlad and Nick Kurtz in the second round. I was the sixth pick in the 12 team draft.
You went Vlad for sure.
No, Vlad went two picks before me. And then I took Kurtz.
Okay, nice. After going, that's a fun one.
Joe Ram, the first pick. There is no app for NFBC right now. So, like, I have been auto-picked quite a few times because I don't get the notification. I'm waiting on that email, and, you know, I'm not constantly checking my email. Like, a notification would come up on my phone. So, but, yes, I am back in the game as far as draft goes.
I got to get in there then. I got to get in. Okay, so that's homers, ATC, go check it out. Stolen bases, which Zips, again, was flagged as every year the most accurate is the way that Mays had cited that in this Reddit thread. So we went out, looked at that, and this one has a huge disclaimer, Steve, if you pull up the list, that they've got a long way to go on, like, playing time assumptions, because some of these guys are, like, Double A guys who are projected for 50 or 40 steals. So you got to kind of filter out that, because there's no way that part is accurate. And I know they update these when we get closer to, you know, first week of spring training, final week of spring training, when, like, rosters are set. That said, I think Chandler Simpson should be on the roster, should be kind of platoon bat plus pinch running, and Chandler Simpson is projected out at 51 steals from Zips, which would be the league leader, and that is quite a bit higher than any other system. That across the other systems, he averages around 37 steals, so 51 is a substantial bump up from that. Estuary Ruiz was one that I kind of chuckled at, because they have him for 46 steals. Every other model has him in single digits, so that's one that it's like, yeah, maybe throw that one out as an outlier. But Jacob Marcy, who's a WAF name at this point, he is projected at 37 steals, and some of the other models have him anywhere from, like, 26 to as high as 35, but seeing 37 for him on Zips got my attention. Let's do one more here. We'll break this in half. But Victor Scott, little Cardinal action here, 36 steals projected, and he has a pretty big range from the other models, going from, like, 26 all the way up to 39. But Zips has him at 36. So, again, Simpson 51, Marcy 37, Victor Scott 36. Any thoughts or takeaways on this first batch of names here?
No, and I know we'll slowly get this into with the plate appearance, but, like, so much of this comes down to, can you project playing time, right? Like, these rates are all going to be relatively close, right? We're breaking down the tiniest of margins on, like, a rate basis. It's just, are these guys going to play? Jacob Marcy is interesting because he's penciled in to lead off for the Marlins after having a really good run in the second half and earning everyday playing time and becoming, you know, someone that looks like they could be the future or on the next good Marlins team, whenever that may be. Right. Yep. And there should be a long leash on a team that is in the middle of a rebuild. The story of Ruiz is interesting because he was acquired by that same team, and maybe there's a shot for him if he does, you know, win a job in spring training. He's not currently listed on roster resource or in their projected lineup. But, you know, that's the kind of thing. It's like, okay, like, yeah, if these guys get these opportunities, this is the skills that they've shown that the projections think is possible. It's just, can you, especially for stolen bases too, right? Because so much of that comes from, you know, if Story is able to, you know, to not be an automatic out, right? Then he's going to, you know, you saw what he did when he got some playing time. What was that, 2-3 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. And stole all those bases. But there's a thin line for those guys that don't have, you know, the bat skills to stay in the lineup. But, you know, if something does change and they do have that ability, like Marcy showed last year, where he, you know, held his own and had a good strikeout rate and showed some power and showed the ability to put the ball in play and, you know, hit for a decent average despite some concerns, if that was possible, based on his minor league numbers, you know, these guys could break out. And, you know, a lot of that does probably come from the fact that, hey, he did steal 47 bases in the minors last year. And then only 14, in 55 games. Only right. 14 yeah. in 55 that's, games, he's right? Running. But it's still pretty good, but it's not, maybe that's a bitter reason to temper that, if you want to shave a few steals off that, projection just to be safe, right? Because a lot of this projection does look at what they've done in the minors, even and haircut that considering it's minors, but still 47 steals in the 98 minor game is going to boost that projection one way or the other.
Yeah, for sure. And since you hit on playing time, I should have noted in the upfront part of the Tom Tango methodology that Mays does at WIFS is separating playing time from rate stats. So there, and it's weighted to some extent, but the idea that I think the way he phrases it is if you projected somebody would get 30 homers over 150 games and they got 30 homers in 100 games, would you call that a good projection? It's kind of like what you were saying with the playing time. In theory, it's exactly what was on the back of the baseball card, but it's probably not that good of a projection because they did it at a way faster.
You're massively undervaluing. Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah, yeah.
That's factored in to some extent. I think the idea is if Chandler Simpson gets run, according to Zip saying he's by far the league leader in steals, he's going to steal a ton of bases more than the other systems are kind of giving him credit for. Moving to the next set of names I found interesting in steals, O'Neill Cruz was projected out at 31 stolen bases, and that was the highest of any of the models. Shohei Ohtani was at 29 by Zips, and most of the other models were around 22, 24, 25. So splitting hairs a little bit, but I mean, the jump from 22 to 29 is significant. And then this one I found really interesting, Steve, that Jose Ramirez was projected at 28 after he stole 44 last year and 41 the year before, and Zips has J-Ram lowest out of any of the models. So that's one example where I'm like, okay, well, if they're getting it right more often than the other systems, it's not like I'm fading steals for J-Ram in terms of what he can give my team. You know, he's a runner. He's still around 30 stolen bases, but it might make me think twice of what I'm kind of projecting him at in my own head. So without trying to overreact too much, that was one that kind of jumped off the page to me. But O'Neill Cruz, Ohtani, J-Ram, any thoughts on these guys?
J-Ram is interesting because I think a lot of that, he's been in the league for, 14. He's played full seasons for 10 years now, right? 12 seasons overall. Since that steal, the steals change in, what was that, heading into 2023, right? His stolen base totals have just gone 28, 41, 44. So, I tend to think that 28 is kind of like a floor, right? The years prior, he did have, he was, 20, 27, 10 in the short season still. 24, he did have a 34 back in 2018, 17, 22. So there's a lot of, and then 10, 10. There's a lot of lower numbers that those projections are going to account for. Plus the fact that he's going into his age 33 season. He's not a guy that steals, that his steals come off of raw speed, right? His sprint speed isn't great. He's more of a guy who knows how to steal bases, which, you see Juan Soto steal 40 bases last year, or close to it, and not have elite sprint speed or anything like that. And his sprint speed's still good at 78th percentile last year, Jose Ramirez, but you're probably going to regress that a little bit, especially as he gets older. So I could see a lower projection, but that's one where I would take the over and just skew based on some facts that the projections may or may not be picking up on as far as the rule changes go. I know some of them may even do and weight recent seasons more heavily, but that's just my sort of tipping the scale a little bit.
I'd be surprised, but yeah, this, I know we say this all the time on this show, but this would be a fun one to come back to at the end of the year and say like, all right, how did this little trick work by trying to cherry pick different players from different models and everything. Okay. So we've gone through homers and steals. We're going to get to RBIs and batting average, plate appearances next, but we're going to take our first ad break. We'll be right back after this. Okay, so RBIs, this is ATC, which again is kind of middle of the pack. It's harder to find ones that are extreme outliers because of the nature of it. But notice Matt Olson at 91 RBIs. Some projection models have him as low as like 82 RBIs, 86. I think we're in on the bounce back, Steve. I saw that, you know, I know we're off of homers, but I think most of the systems had him at like 29 and 30. I feel like I'm just always thinking Olson's got more in the tank than what they're giving him credit for. And maybe I'm not adjusting to the past 18 months for Olson. But yeah, ATC had the higher side of RBI projections for Olson. But in my mind, that's still on the lower side of what I would be hoping for when I draft him at 91.
I mean, maybe because we're spoiled by that 2023 year when he had 139 RBIs and the Braves were just a wagon. He had two pretty. I mean, his 2025 was better than a really disappointing 2024, but there still felt like there could be room for upside, right? It was still "quote unquote" just an 850 OPS, the same number of homers, 29.
It's a good down year. Yeah.
You know, yeah, and. It was still an improvement on the real down year from 2024, sure. Right? And Olson has played 162 games for four seasons in a row. That's pretty crazy. So, you know, the fact that he, I mean, the 98 and 95 RBIs in those games, the years are good, but the fact that he plays 162, maybe you even want a little more. Like, you kind of want 110, well, something
been
like
so
that.
Plagued. But, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they've been so bad, and I bought fully back in on the Braves last year. I still don't see, like, I still want to this year, but the fact, like, I told myself I'm not going to get hurt again by that. But, you know, it's easy to talk yourself into. Acuna, second year back from the ACL. You saw what happened the second year back last time he tore it, right? Olsen's still just, you know, 32. Drake Baldwin looks like a great player. Austin Riley, great young catcher with, you know, who could hit average power. Austin Riley, a lot of the same things apply for Riley, for Olson, maybe just to, you know, a larger degree, right? Just because of how disappointed, you know, his seasons were even more disappointing in the last two years, but could easily see a bounce back there too, right? Like, Michael Harris is Jonathan flashes.
Yeah, he was 20-20 last year. Like, I think the reality is it won't be as amazing as kind of the heyday 4 years ago when Olson had all those RBIs. But surely if he does if he plays 162 games and plays to his caliber, 91 feels like it's on the lower end of the outcomes.
Low.
But okay, some other ones in the RBI bucket. Sal Perez, I was looking at him across a few categories because he's just such this like perennial head scratcher on like, what are we going to get out of Sal? Are we going to have to wait 4 months? He's projected at 90 RBIs from ATC. Some other models have him at like 80, 83. So ATC likes kind of the higher side on Sal Perez. Kyle Tucker is the flip at 88 RBI. Other models have him as high as like 100, 100 plus, or high 90s. ATC is about 10 short of that. Gunnar Henderson was another kind of mini fade here with RBI projection of 84. And some other models had like low 90s. I know, again, you're talking about, you know, it could be two games that swing that difference, but worth noting. And then looking at the ADP column next to all these guys, Steve, something that jumped out to me was that Christian Walker is an ADP of 189 and he's projected at 80 RBI. So he's kind of the bargain bin if you're in a spot where you need to bolster RBI in your lineup. Walker was like one of two names that had, you know, an ADP beyond pick 180. I think the other one was like Spencer Torkelson. That's like, all right, this is a late pick that all the systems are saying, you know, should be a really solid contributor in RBI. So anything to add on Perez, Tucker, Gunner, or Christian Walker?
No, I think a lot of that is dependent. Like, are the Orioles going to be as good as their offseason, you know, seems like they could be, you know, with adding Alonso? Then, like, Gunnar Henderson's going to be locked for close to 100 RBIs if he stays healthy. Same sort of thing goes for Tucker, right? Like, you know, if the Dodgers are clicking and healthy all year, like, he's not going to have 88 RBIs. Like, he's going to have, you know, maybe close to 250 combined runs.
Yeah,
on RBIs.
Let me see where they got him in that lineup.
Right?
Gosh. So they got him hitting third.
I think second. I think second.
They got him third behind Ohtani leading off and then Mookie.
Okay.
So maybe the theory is that Ohtani's going to just clear the bases every time, including himself, and that won't create that many RBI opportunities.
Maybe.
I don't know. But yeah, just an interesting one. Let's keep it moving, though. Yeah.
I think Robert said where he's going to hit, which I would think Roster Resource would update that. So maybe they did say they envisioned him hitting third. I know that they said it like a fan fest, one of those things.
Recently, we haven't even talked about just the ridiculousness with the Dodgers, but that's a whole nother show.
Yeah.
Moving on to batting average, where the bat comes in, and I like the ones that are non-ATC because they tend to have bigger outliers. So for the bat, not a huge surprise that Luis Arraez is projected for the batting title with a .310 batting average. But the other systems averaged out to .300. So they're giving Arraez 10 extra points there. We'll have to see where he gets signed, and I'm sure that will factor in. But Arraez top there. And then Jacob Wilson, the bat is also big on his average at a .304 projection. The other models lived in like the .289 to .294 range. So again, if you're looking for a tiebreaker, most accurate system has given him a 10-point bump. You'll like this one, Steve. Yordan Alvarez was at a .296, not huge, but the other models were around like .289, .292. And I believe the bat was highest or close on Alvarez. Vlad was on the other side of this one as well, that other models had him at .304 or as high as .304, and he was at .292 for the bat. So between ATC and the bat on homers and then the bat on average, you know, if you really are treating this as gospel, you might be thinking, oh, maybe Vlad, I got to adjust a little bit of output on what I was hoping for. Chandler Simpson was the next one, and then we'll pause and talk about these guys. But Simpson popped up twice. He's the opposite of Vlad, where the steals had him at the absolute highest projection from Zips, and then on his batting average, the highest projection was the bat, who has him at .292. Some of the other models, one went as low as like .268. So Simpson looks like high average, high steals, which from a guy who rostered him all last year, that's what you get, but it, you know, not a whole lot else. but if you're looking for kind of a cat specialist, that, you know, this supports that narrative. So talk to me about this first set of five names, Steve. Anything jump out or anything you want to push back on within this world?
No, it seems pretty right to me. And I appreciate what the bat does and buy that for average, you know. Although it is probably one of the flukiest things to predict, right? Like, especially like, you know, the difference between Jacob Wilson hitting .285 and .320 is, you know, a few bloop hits here and there that fall in on a week, and like how do you project for that, right? It's not that I just want to dismiss it, but like,
oh, of all stats,
I'm not really surprised with any sort of the high end or low end ranges on average. It's just, you know, it comes down to a hot streak being, you know, 12 days instead of 10, then, you know, 8 days versus 10, you know, on the other side, right?
It's a great call out that of all the stats, this one tends to be the least sticky, I guess, or the one that has kind of the most noise. Yeah. I think probably for practical purposes, if you're going to try to base drafting players off of considering their average, the fact that the bat has been the most accurate is a good place to start. Then just know no matter what, you got to account for a fudge factor. But that kind of segues into the next one. So, for instance, I think it was last show or two shows ago, I was talking about Yandy Diaz as like a Christmas ADP gift at 135, and that, you know, this guy, you know, could easily be viewed as like a plus 300 hitter. A handful of the other systems had him at 294, 297. And the bat had him at 282. So in my mind, it's like, okay, maybe I should be thinking about Yandy as more anywhere from 275 to 295 rather than, you know, 290 to 310, just as an example. Freddie Freeman was at 275. Other systems had him in like mid-high 280s. This one is interesting. Tom Jones, TJ will love this one because he just won a litigation battle on if he's allowed to keep Luke Keyshaw in our league, and he was
we need to take a detour here and talk litigation battle.
We have all these rules. So we have a rule that if you add a free agent before May 1st, that you're allowed to keep them within a round of their ADP the following year. So pretty low stakes because you're kind of getting them at cost, but you have to add them and keep them the whole year. The wrinkle is TJ had him in his prospect slot. He added him and was before May 1st, and then he demoted him to his prospect slot. And so the whole league as soon as he touched his prospect slot, it's null and void. And then TJ's like, no, but if somebody goes on the IL slot, you are allowed to keep him. So it turned into this whole thing. I had to go look at our rule.
Yeah, if there's no formal rule about, you know, you can't keep someone you put in the prospect slot, then, you know, there's no grounds stand on him not being able to keep.
People
to
were
keep
looking
him,
at
so
the exact.
I am Team
yeah,
TJ.
People
there.
Were looking at the I'm exact sure be, wording yeah. of the PowerPoint slide with the rules, and it came down to like interpretation of the letter of the law. So I'm like, oh great, you know, you think you've figured out all of the possible outcomes. So Keyshaw is projected out by the bat at 273, and the other systems average out to 264. So nice little bump on expectations for Keyshaw there. This one I'm ready to just throw out the window, Steve, but I had to put because we were hyping George Springer, who I believe hit like 305 last year, unless I'm misremembering, but it was definitely higher than 252.
309,
and the bat has Springer at 252, the lowest of any model. The highest of any model is the bat X at 263, and I'm just like, man, give me this over under on DraftKings or something. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
What did he hit in
I know, but he changed to the A swing, Steve. We did that's a, yes. Yeah, yes. No, but I'm sure he was like
yeah. the projection isn't going to pick up the fact that Springer changed his
right
approach,
and
right?
You,
yeah.
you hope
it's going to pick up the batted ball data and weight that and, you know, project him for, you know, the 817 OPS that the bat X has him, the 787 798 right. OPS, which is good, and, you know, it's kind of what we came to expect from Springer, you know, post Astros, right? A good right. player, but
what were his averages, you know, before? You have it yeah. pulled up?
Yeah. He hit 309 last year. And he basically played, you know, most games here, except for an injury shortened 2021. But in the last 4 years, he had 220, 258, 267, and 264. That's the 4 years that he's been in Toronto.
I mean, how are you going to look at the 267, 264, then a 309 and put them all in a mixer and say 252 is what you're getting from Springer? That's blasphemous. All right, Rob Silver. all right, so last one, going back to Munetaka Murakami, who was projected out for the 28 homers. The bat has him at a 206 on average, and the other systems are a lot higher. So some have them at like 234. So just a note, if you're putting stock in this exercise, you're going to want to fade the batting average for Murakami.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to see how it's coming to that. You know, the strikeout rates have been close to 30% in the MPB the last 3 years. So if you're striking out that much in that league, like, you know, how much are you going to strike out here, I guess, is the
totally thought. Yeah.
And he did have some, like, he had 244 2 years ago in the MPB. I mean, he was great. He had an 851 OPS and a 156 WRC plus. And 33 homers, but, you know, average was not his strong suit, despite the fact that he hit 273 last year and had a 1043 OPS.
What was
OPS.
His strikeout rate last year?
29%.
I think I'm out at – I think I'm
– And he did only play 56 games.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Last year.
Yeah, the 208 ADP, that's always, like, a pitcher shopping zone. I don't know that I'm interested. Early reactions from you at that cost?
You know, maybe at the right cost, he falls a little bit beyond that. He just
I like
went
that he's only
the draft.
I like that he's only 25. Now. So there's
yeah, that is nice. Where did he go? Did he go yet? Maybe he's util only, and I'm missing that. No, okay. He's still available at pick 218.
Oh,
I'm actually going
up, man.
Here in
real time
in four picks, and I do need a corner infielder. So
do you need some pop?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I have Kurtz and Schwarber.
Probably don't need pop in that case.
No, and that was back-to-back picks, and I got autoed, I think, on one or both of those.
Mind.
No, I'm on the Schwarber one. So, like, you know, just because Kurtz is such high strikeout, low average, Schwarber is also high strikeout, low average potential. I did not plan on pairing those two together.
Is Chandler Simpson still out there? You could try to balance out a little average.
Yeah, I did that a bit. I got Bryson Stott just for some steals. Like, I got and then for some average, like, I guess I could use like Jaron Duran was my first outfield pick. Altuve was my second outfield pick, or will be second base. So maybe some upside on the average there.
Okay.
So we'll see. Yeah. It's a good point.
All right. I like it. So where are we here? The average, that wraps us up for average. Yeah, plate appearances, Steve. Like, just note that Steamer has been the most accurate year over year for plate appearances. I think what jumped out at me were a few on kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. Acuna is projected from Steamer for 147 games, 676 plate appearances. Most of the other models have him in like the 130s for games and have him at like 620 on plate appearances. So they're giving him an extra like 50 plate appearances. Zips is way down at 529 plate appearances. But going back to separating playing time from the skill projections, Zips had him at 24 steals in that like 120 games or whatever it is. So they, if you're kind of putting stock in Zips for steals, they probably prorate out to 147 games of Acuna being like 34 steals or something. So this is how you can start doing, you know, some mental gymnastics with like how these all come together. But Acuna was interesting to me. On the flip side, Mookie Betts, they only have 125 games and 566 plate appearances, while some other systems have like 630, 650. So definitely they're short on the Mookie projections. And then same with Tatis. I don't know if that's kind of muddied with, you know, the suspension and stuff like that, but they've got him at 134 games, where other systems have him at like 145 plus. Now, it's hard to predict health, but what do you think about any of these? Anything to note?
Yeah, I'm not to do the whole average thing again, but you kind of like the way you win the game is if you project plate appearances and playing time better than others. Like that's how that's the key to the game. And you know, the fact that Steamer is the best at it, that makes sense. But then there's also like, okay, I don't know how much, like, I'm not going to take 125 games for Mookie Betts to the bank. Like, you know, when he normally posts, you know, in the season where he doesn't have food poisoning to start in Japan, right? The opening season, like, he's normally a guy that's, you can count on for, you know, 150 games every year, right? And then in 2024, the year before, well, I think it was a hit by pitch, right? I think he missed time
with a hand fracture.
Like, yeah, yeah, which I think he broke his hand, yeah, from a hit by pitch. So, like, you know, you can't, in my opinion, you can't project for that stuff. It's not like he's been dealing with all these soft tissue injuries, right, year over year.
And, yeah.
It's not like a Trout. It's like Mike Trout, where it's like, okay, I'm going to project my 12 for 100. Games, yeah, right.
No, it's a good point. I mean, when you look at it, it's like there was a hip thing in 21, there was a rib fracture in 22, there was a broken hand, but to your point, it's not like soft tissue. So it's.
Yeah, I would project him for an IL stint. I would project him to miss 15 games. I would not project him
25
to
miss
or 30. 30 to yeah, 40.
That makes sense. Okay, so that is everything on the hitter side. We got to leave some time for pitchers because that's what it's all about. But we're going to take our second ad break, and we'll be right back after this. All right, so Steve, starting with strikeouts, which I know is everybody's favorite category. But for this exercise, it was not my favorite category because ATC is the most accurate, which, again, to kind of be a broken record, you're not going to find as big a variance because they average out all of the systems. That said, there's a few that I kind of pulled out here. Garrett Crochet, ATC had at 220 strikeouts, which sounds excellent. But other models had him for 240, high 240s, and ATC had him at 220. So maybe if you're looking for a tiebreaker and you really trust this process, Crochet's a little bit lower. Logan Webb, ATC was lowest of all models with 183 strikeouts projected. The other ones were just a little bit higher than that with 190 to 200. Pivetta is a name we'll talk about a few times here, but Pivetta was on the good side of this with 189 projected strikeouts. Some of the other models had 170, 180, so they got him close to 190 here. Spencer Strider, I just kind of pulled him because he's an interesting one with like a lot of volatility, it seems like, kind of a polarizing guy going into the draft season. They have him at 175 strikeouts, but some models were as low as 164 and other ones were as high as 187. So again, ATC just kind of hits the middle. And along with Pivetta, Yuri Perez is another name that, like, through each of these categories was just ringing the register. ATC has Yuri Perez at 166 strikeouts, and hit the average of his other projections falls around, like, 140. So a 26-strikeout bump. And again, Pivetta and Yuri, as we go through some of these other topics, are names that kept popping up in a good way. So, yeah, open to your thoughts on this, or if you see any other ones you want to hit on.
No, I mean, I think it's just amazing, like, how much how far ahead of the field Crochet is than others for strikeouts, right? I guess what's like Skubal's
Skubal,
you know, like how far behind is Skubal for strikeouts?
I think he might be above him on this. So really? Crochet is really? Third. It goes Skubal at 229, Skeens at 224, and Crochet at 220.
Wow. Okay.
But then there's a big drop to 204, which is Hunter Green.
Yeah. And also, Crochet is projected for the least innings of those three, between Skubal, Skeens, and Crochet. Like, I believe he has probably the highest rate out of all of them, or at least very similar.
Yeah,
to,
highest out of that group. Yeah.
To, yeah, and like K percentage, if you look at that.
Yeah, it should be under the advanced tab.
As far as starters. Yeah, they're both at they're the Scoobles 30.8%, Crochet's 30.6%. Interesting enough, Sale is the next highest on a rate basis for a starter, just above Skeens. But yeah, I think that like we'll get into some more of my thoughts
on these next topics.
Okay, so
not a ton. Wins was kind of the weakest one to even bother with.
Wins, it's the average. It's the average.
The spread is like, all right, 12 or 11 wins. I mean, the only things I found remotely interesting was Steamer is allegedly the best one at projecting wins. They had Christopher Sanchez at 14 wins, and some other models had 10 to 12. So that was like, you know, you can see it's kind of negligible, but... then I thought it was just interesting that they have David Peterson for 11 wins. Like when you look at double-digit win guys, which in general, man, like Scooble and Skeens, like all these guys are only projected for like 14 wins, and it just makes me sad as a fan that like thinking about the good old days of like Verlander getting 20-win seasons. I'm like, really? Everybody's just getting projected for like our aces of the game are getting 14 wins? It's lame, dude.
How many pitchers had double-digit wins last season?
That's a great question. I mean, if I didn't do this exercise coming into tonight, I would have said, like, 35.
Okay.
And now I'm like...
Pretty close. Okay. You're pretty close. No, you're pretty close. It was 40. 40 players.
But I would have guessed that, like, there were 10 that had over 15.
There were 7. That had over 15. So also
the highest win total last year?
19.
From who?
You want to take a guess? Now, Scooble had 13 wins last season.
19.
He had 19 decisions in 31 starts. It's a DeGrom-esque. And the Tigers weren't bad either, right? Max Fried was your league leader. 19 wins.
I know, I was like, did he? Okay, so Freak gets some wins. But yeah, anyway.
Two guys with 18 for second, both played in Max Fried's division. I'll some rapid fire.
Okay, Crochet.
Crochet is one. A teammate of Max Fried.
Who would have gotten 18 wins for the Yankees? Man, I'm blanking right now. Just hit me with it.
Carlos
Rodon had 18 wins. Wow.
Yeah. That's
interesting.
Sneaky good season.
I know. We did have a little board bet at one point. I forget. I think it was somebody in the comments asked us, like, hey, would you rather have Rodon or somebody else the rest of the way? It was like, it might have been Christian Walker. Rodon or Christian Walker. And we were like, I was leaning Rodon. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
This is the fun part. Getting into ERA and WHIP, which Oopsie is best at. Steve, do you want to preface Oopsie on this before we get into all the names and numbers, or do you want to wait?
I mean, I'm biased. Like, you know, Saris is, you know, I'm a huge fan of. He basically, you know, inspired me to do this. I've never missed an article that he's ever written. That's his projections with Jordan Rosenblum sort of running point on putting those together. But Oopsie uses Stuff Plus, which, you know, we've talked about. We've done countless episodes on about how important that is of a factor, and how it can help in pitcher evaluation for fantasy, especially in small samples. So, like, the fact that ERA and WHIP are the most accurate with Oopsie, like, just as like a rule of thumb, like how I would use projections, like. If I had to choose only two to look at, like, I would use the Bat X for hitters. I would use Oopsie for pitchers. Like, you know, that actually is the StatCast data that we all look at and break down and try to find this small edge with. Oopsie uses all the Stuff Plus data that, you know, Saras worked so hard on to put together and includes that in their model and their projections. So that's just a little preamble. I'm glad that that's the case. It does bear out, like, you know, I know that there's value in ATC, value in all these that put together these aggregations and,
yeah, I think
any other projections in their own right.
Like the ones who nerd out closest, you know, on it would debate, yeah, that. And I think you're both right, but I think that ATC is going to be right more often than the bad X, but the bad X is probably going to get you those meaningful diamonds in the rough. Is that fair?
Yeah. Like if you were auto drafting a team, you need to auto draft, yes, with ATC. If you need to use like tiebreakers and stuff and like jump ADP in certain spots, you could use the bad X.
Yeah.
And oopsie for hitters and
pitchers. I like that. Okay. So with that level set for oopsie on ERA, again, looking for outliers here compared to other models because oopsie's been the most accurate. So I was just having fun. I couldn't get enough. Like I was trying to click on every pitcher. starting at the top, Tarik Skubal, a 2.63 ERA projection. That was on the low side compared to other models. So oopsie likes Skubal. So do we all, but, you know, more than the other models. Skeens, 2.75 ERA. That was on the low side compared to other models. So again, if you already were thinking about drafting, you know, an ace in round 1-2, this supports that. Yamamoto at 3.21 was also pretty favorable across splits. We'll get to whip is an interesting thing because you're going to notice a lot of these are low. Oopsie likes a lot of these guys. Brian Wu, which was music to my ears because I'm really liking him for this, like, kind of not a top 3-4 pitcher, but getting an out-and-out ace. A 3.10 ERA projection. The others averaged out at, like, 3.40. So some notable value there for Oopsie and Brian Wu. Hunter Green was a name that was coming up a lot, and he was 3.13. Other models had him from 3.55 to 3.97. So now you're looking at like a 0.4 ERA or 0.7 or 8 ERA delta for Hunter Green. Like of everything on the show, we've kind of saved the best for last because some of these names are the ones where I'm like, okay, I thought I liked him. I thought he was a machine last year, but it's backed by all these numbers. Jesus Luzardo at 3.67, which isn't as sparkly as the other ones, but that was on the low side of other ones. And Luzardo popped up on some other like K's and whip as well. So I think Luzardo is getting a tiny bump in my mind from this process. But yeah, once you if you want to weigh in on any of those, Skubal, Skeens, Yamamoto, Wu, Hunter Green, Luzardo.
No, I mean, there's not much to say about, like, these guys are great, and I think there's little reason to believe that maybe other than like Green's like injury concerns and potential, you know, volume issues aside, there's not much to not believe in. Like,
yeah, who are his contemporaries? I mean, so he's going right in front of DeGrom. And then a few picks after DeGrom is Cole Reagans. Who's in front of Hunter Green from pitchers? Oh, it's a little bit of a cliff.
Like Gilbert, Hunter Brown, Wu, Yamamoto.
Chris Sale is the next one. In January ADP, Sale is 10 picks in front of Hunter Green. So, I don't know. I don't think he can jump that.
He's like taking a jump because like people, it's like, okay, yeah, he's – on a per inning basis, like he could probably be closest to Crochet and Skubal, right? If you can guarantee 200 innings for a guy, right? Like Green is, you know, 31% strikeout rate, 6.2% walk rate. That's Crochet. That's Skubal. Just he hasn't been able to do it for more than 150 innings that he did in 2024.
But I think the order that I'm looking at right now, I don't know that I would change anything of Brian Wu, Chris Sale, Hunter Green, DeGrom. Would you change anything with that?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm pretty good with that. And like more so in recent years, like I believe in the top 10 more than the others. Like there's usually always like one or two guys, like there still is, right? It's still Skeens and Scooball, mm-hmm. right? And Crochet, there's three. But then there's sometimes like a pretty big drop off, like 4 to 12 are super strong, more so than in other years is my
getting a true SP1 this year versus waiting a long time. Yeah, I like that. Okay, well, to keep rolling.
And there's more of them in my opinion. There's more.
Yeah. Okay, so then Yuri Perez, who remember on ATC had like a 26 strikeout jump from other projections, is on Oopsie for 3.46 ERA, and all the others are from 3.82 to 4.09. So now between ATC for the Ks and Oopsie for the ERA, Yuri Perez is looking like an absolute bargain from the models. Nick Pivetta, again, same bucket as Perez because he was good in the strikeout one, 3.73 ERA projection. The other one's not as high, but it was like high 3.80s, low 3.90s, so they like him there. Trey is Savage, 3.48. The rest of the models were 3.90 range, so big, big jump on you, Savage. Nolan McClain, 3.54. Others were around 3.85, so big jump. Schwellenbach was just one I've been scratching my head at, so I looked. He's on the low side for Oopsie at a 3.45, but not a huge delta there, around 3.60. Cam Schlittler, Steve, I know you're big on him, 3.65 from Oopsie. Other ERA models, 3.90 to 4.06, so definitely some room there. And then Mizorowski, who's been my guy in that same range, 3.37, and others were as high as 4.03. So Oopsie definitely likes Mizorowski, at least for ERA, not so much for whip. And then the fades, just to rattle through them, kind of guys that fit a similar, like, and maybe this goes into the stuff plus thing, Steve, but these kind of feel like the boring guys in a way. Shota Imanaga, Robbie Ray, Kevin Gausman, Brandon Woodruff, Shane Bieber, Zach Gallen, all of the projections from Oopsie were on the higher side for ERA for those guys compared to other models. So anything to add on any of those like 10 names? I know it's kind of the numbers are the numbers, but what are your thoughts on this batch?
No, more of the same, like there, like it's so hard to, these projections are getting so good and there's so much that involved with them. Like a lot of these guys would have been sleepers, you know, even like 3-4 years ago in a way. Now it's like, okay, you need to spend a top 110 pick to get Schlittler or Mizorowski, right? And that's part of the reason is because these are getting so good. And it's easy to tell, okay, let's disregard the ERA number from last year and actually focus on the skill of these pitchers. And that's why these projections are so good and so good for so many guys that we like.
I mean, yeah, I think the pushback I would give, though, is that I feel like it's kind of preaching to the choir to you because you're an Eno truther, like you said, and like you're always playing from this book. But to know that Oopsie is the one that is more accurate year over year for pitching ratios.
Sure. Yeah. That's all.
And to know that there's a big gap because like Schlittler, his January ADP is 142. And if the only projection system or if every projection system had him at, you know, this 3.65 ERA compared to some high threes, maybe that ADP would be a round and a half earlier, I guess, is what I would say. So it's a little bit confirmation bias because some of these guys are guys that we would like anyway because they jump off the page. But the fact that it's the most accurate is like one big victory lap on StatCast, Stuff Plus, all that good stuff. WHIP is a little less fun, so we can go quick. But ironically, while a lot of these Stuff Plus guys were better on ERA from Oopsie, a handful of them were worse on whip, or at least some of the, so to talk about the guys that were on the high side. So Yamamoto, who oopsie favored for ERA, was actually higher on Yamamoto's whip at a 115. DeGrom at 109 was the highest out of any of the models. Granted, 109 is still a great whip. Logan Webb, not really a stuff plus guy, but well, I'd be interested. Do you know Steve? Because I feel like he's been in and out with all of his seam shifted wake and stuff. But anyway, he's a 120 whip, which is the highest of the models. Schwellenbach was on the high side. Spencer Strider was on the high side. And Mizorowski was a 127, which was on the high side as well. I think Schlittler was as well. So some of the guys they really liked for ERA, they didn't like as much for whip compared to other models. But yeah, thoughts on this group?
I mean, just for Webb specifically, right? I wouldn't say he's like a horrible stuff plus buy because he's like a sinker changeup guy, which, you know, aren't model breakers in the first place. So there's that. And, you know, he's had great years, especially last year and then the year before. But what do you think Logan Webb's whip has been the last two seasons?
I was just on his page, so I will not look at the whip. 116, 117, something in there.
123 in 2024, 124 okay. Last year. It really hasn't come back to bite him because his ERAs have been 347 and 322. I mean, that's, you know, when you throw 57 and 53% ground balls, like, you know, that's going to help.
I was thinking of the walk rate is why I was like, oh, he must have a good work.
No, the walk rate's good.
I think the walk rate makes you think, oh, this guy, you know, keeps a good whip.
Yeah, he just gives up a lot of hits. He gives up a lot of hits. I've never rostered him. That would drive me – I've never really rostered him recently. That would drive me crazy, like just watching – like if I was watching the starts and it was just base runners all the time, that would drive me absolutely insane, especially for a guy that doesn't – you know, I mean – 26% strikeout rate and 2.7 is that was really good, and that played into the fact why he had, you know, an ERA that was in the low threes rather than, you know, a four, right? And pair that with ground balls. There you go.
Right. He needs to go to the Blue Jays. That, he needs and to like put a defense behind.
Yeah.
Him.
And like all the ERA indicators all back it up. Like they don't necessarily care about the whip, right? But. You know, that would drive me wild. Like, even if he repeated this year, just a guy, 1.2 guys on the bases every inning would drive me insane.
I totally agree. It's a stressor. You don't need in fantasy. I'm trying to think if there's any – I mean, what do you make of some of these guys like Schlittler and Mizorowski that have, like, strikeout upside? They've got the ERA upside, but then you see the whip is like high 120s. Like maybe we got to
I think it's just a way of the projection representing that these are young pitchers that have had
control issues
or currently have walk issues and control issues. Right. Like as exciting as Schlittler is, he still walked 10.2% of the guys last year. And had a one.
It's like a just because you have a good walk rate doesn't mean you have a good whip. But if you have a bad walk rate, you're probably going to have a bad one.
You're probably going to have a bad whip. Yeah,
one way to look at it. Okay, so the flip is the good names for whip from Oopsie, which Yesavage was not necessarily a good whip at 123, but it was lower than the other models. Hunter Green was on the low side of the models with a 111. So again, now you're looking at, he was good on the strikeouts for ATC, right around 200. He was good on the ERA from Oopsie with a 313 and a 111 whip. So Hunter Green definitely belongs in that like 50 ADP range. I thought it was interesting Freddie Peralta they had on the lower side of whip. I always think of him as like a high 120s guy, and he was 119 on a projection. So just a few names there that were on the low side, but in general, it seemed like Oopsie was often on the higher end of whip projection. So yeah, I mean, those are all the names. That's no, we probably talked about 200, but yeah, going through this, there were a few that I was like, okay, little tiebreaker here, a little tiebreaker there. Didn't think about some of these guys, like I think Yuri Perez, Jesus Luzardo, those types of names. I was like, okay, I'm going to look twice at them as I'm doing my next 8-week research.
No, I agree with that. And I think that it's just more validation to believe in those guys, especially just on the pitching side.
Yep. All right. Well, you've got PitchCon on Saturday, Steve. You got a draft in the works. So you're in the swing of things. I gotta balance out. So what format is your NFBC league? We haven't talked about this.
I did a 50. So like it's 50 rounds draft and hold, no free agents, set your lineup once a week.
With the lineup set, yeah. I might have to but you still got a little management that comes with that. Okay.
Yeah, you do have to set your lineup. Yeah, but no waiver management, fat budgeting or anything
Some time, so. Nice, yeah. Love it. Well, thanks everybody for joining again, especially during PitchCon if you donated some of your baseball brain for us, but be sure to check out all the action on PitchCon. Make a donation, try to get us to the $10,000 goal. But otherwise, we will be back in a couple weeks. And then before long, we'll be on weekly as we ramp up into the season. Until then, thanks for talking baseball with us, guys.
Thanks, guys. Later.